Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Muñoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community pa' todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
You're tuning in to capítulo 183.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we interviewed Catalina Garcia of Monsieur Periné about her new album, about her performance at the Walt Disney Concert Hall with the LA Philharmonic and Gustavo Dudamel, alongside like a really fabulous host of other Latin American vocalists. Diosa and I actually attended the concert after we interviewed Catalina Garcia. It's a fabulous interview. Go ahead and subscribe to Locatora Radio, leave a review, and share with a friend.
So we're going to just dive right into it today because we have a jam-packed episode, as always. But we did want to provide some social context because, as we mentioned in our previous episode, we will be continuing to cover the crisis in Palestine for the rest of the season. And we actually only have like 9 episodes left this season. So Wild. We will be continuing to cover this because we know it's an ongoing crisis. And so just to provide some more context as to where we are right now, Monday, November 27th, according to Al Jazeera, more than 14,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since October 7th, with thousands more believed to be trapped in the rubble. In Israel, the official death toll stands at 1,200. And for the past 4 days, there has been a, quote, pause of bombardment, but no ceasefire. And people around the world have demanded a ceasefire. We're continuing to encourage our listeners to be informed, to follow the different journalists that are on the ground in Gaza, and call the representatives to demand a ceasefire.
So today, to continue the conversation and to bring in some more voices who can speak directly to the matter, we're really excited and lucky to have on the show today Lauren Medina, who is the owner of Guerrera PR. Lauren is an adjunct instructor in the USC Thornton School of Music Industry Program. She has worked in the music industry for 22 years, and she, as I said, currently owns Guerrera Marketing and PR Company, bilingual hybrid agency focused on public relations, marketing consulting, and brand partnerships representing avant-garde Latinx artists who strive to create their musical lanes. Lauren is of Cuban and Palestinian descent and has been vocal about Free Palestine for many years. It's part of her personal and political praxis, and she's joining us today to discuss solidarity with the Palestinian people and Christian Zionism in the Latino community.
So without further ado, we are going to bring on Loren to talk to us about all the things Mala mentioned, and we hope you like this episode. So today we are joined by Loren Medina. She is the founder of Guerrera PR and Marketing. And so we're going to be having a conversation with her about really the crisis in Palestine and where she stands as someone that's in between both cultures and has been talking about the Free Palestine movement for a very long time. So, Loren, without further ado, can you introduce yourself and say hi to our listeners?
Hi, how's everyone doing? Thank you, first and foremost, for having me, Dios Amala. Thank you to everyone who's listening and to everyone who's supported Locatora. It's really important to support podcasts such as yours, which are female owned and operated, and the topics that you cover are really important for our community. So I want to thank you and acknowledge that. So yeah, my name is Loren and I'm Palestinian and Cuban. Also have raices in Colombia because my mom was born in Colombia after the first Nakba. I do public relations. I'm also an adjunct professor at USC, which I also teach public relations there. I've been in the music business for 22 years and I've been teaching for, it's coming up on 7. That's pretty much me in a nutshell, you know?
Yeah, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, we've been wanting to speak to our audience about Israel-Palestine in a way that like captures A, what are Palestinian people saying about what's going on? What are Palestinian folks asking? And also keeping in mind that our audience is a largely Latinx, Latina audience. And so what does our audience, that specific audience, sort of need to hear, or what are we missing when our community specifically is talking about Israel-Palestine? And so you, with your background and being who you are, you can sort of speak to both communities at the same time to some degree. So just thank you for being here to facilitate this conversation.
And I definitely can speak on that. So just to give you some context, my dad passed away, but I still talk about him like he's here because for me he is, right? So my dad was a political prisoner in Cuba. So he was part of a militia movement that was actually fighting against Castro and the revolution. And so my grandparents are Palestinian, and obviously like they lived through the first Nakba, and the Nakba basically is what you're seeing right now, the second Nakba, which is the expulsion of thousands of Palestinians. And so I, you know, politics and life have been conflated since I was a kid. I have been taught about this. That's why my company is called Guerrera, because I'm a product of war. I'm a product of war refugees. Like I, if it wasn't for these things that happen in Cuba and Palestine, like I wouldn't be alive. So I think that one of the things that is really important to talk about with Latinos is that, you know, Palestinians are part of a marginalized group, just like Latinos are in the US, just like a lot of Latinos have experienced in their own countries, right? So all throughout the history of Latin America, we've seen so many civil wars, we've seen so many revolutions, we've seen so much oppression, we've seen, you know, the oppression from white Latinos towards indigenous Latinos, we've seen, you know, what Mexicans have had to go through coming to the US, even like until recently under Trump, you know, what that looked like under Trump, and still what that looks like now, right? Like you have somebody like Gregory Abbott in Texas, and like what he's doing to prevent, you know, immigrants coming to this country. So just like a lot of Mexican Americans like to remind, you know, white people, it's like, listen, Texas, California, that was part of Mexico. We are the indigenous people of this land. And Palestinians are the indigenous people of Palestine. And they're not the only ones. And I want to just be fair to say that they're not the only ones that you know, Palestinian people come from the Philistines, and the Philistines were a sea people, a nomadic people that were up and down the coast. But, you know, back then, you're talking about like, you know, thousands of years ago, like that land was conquered by so many different empires. So it's been a land that has been home to so many different people of so many different religions. But Palestinians are definitely have always been the indigenous people of the land. So there are a lot of parallels between Latinos and Palestinians in the sense where they are two groups of people who have been constantly marginalized. And let me just start with the Latinos here in the US, right? And so They've faced oppression. You know, most Palestinians are not as light as me. They're mostly brown folks, right? And so, you know, they've been discriminated because of their culture, because of their race, because of their skin color, because they're predominantly Muslims. Even my family was Christian, but their Palestinians are predominantly Muslim. So they have all these things working against them. And it's the same for a lot of the Latinos who come to this country that don't come from the Spaniards, that are indigenous, you know, from Central and Latin America, who look very much indigenous, who are brown, and they face the same type of oppression. So there's a huge parallel, you know, between the Latino communities and Palestinians.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Yeah, that's a great example of some of the things we've been talking about here at Locatora too, is like the historical solidarity between these two groups. And I think, Loren, like one of the reasons we invited you is because you're a great example of someone that combines the personal and political. I mean, you said that right off the bat, like this has been your whole life. And obviously you see how this intertwines not only with you, but with other people, and it's apparent in your work as well. You know, you said Guerrera is marketing, like that's why it's named what it is, right? So how do you continue to embody and practice this in spite of maybe pushback? You like, you know, sin pelos en la lengua, here you are. So how do you continue to embody this? And, you know, just thinking of too, how this can inspire someone, right? To be like, you know what, I can be about it too. And I can talk about it too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that I have the privilege to separate the two, because that's part of my identity, right? So I can't just separate that and just say, well, you know, I need to keep my political point of view away from work. I also am lucky enough that I own my own business, and I choose to work with people who are aligned. You know, I lost a client earlier, the first week that this happened, that when Hamas invaded Israel, I spoke out day one. I mean, I've been speaking out, but I posted something about, you know, one of the war tanks, one of the bulldozers breaking through the fence. And I said, what is the price of freedom? And I got immediately accused of being anti-Semitic, which for anybody listening, like Arabs are Semites. So I'm not anti-Semitic because I cannot be against myself. Well, I'm not a self-hating Middle Eastern person, right? But I was called anti-Semitic. I was told that I was a Hamas empathizer, that I was celebrating Hamas killing innocent Israelis. And it has nothing to do with that. It just had to do with the simple fact that, like, for many people living in Gaza, for them to see a bulldozer break through a fence that which they've been under a military blockade for over a decade was this beautiful feeling of freedom, of having someone come and like rescue them, of like break down that wall and let them out, right? So I'm never not going to be vocal about this issue and many other social issues, which I champion, right? I'm very vocal about, you know, I'm very vocal about championing the LGBTQ community, about championing migrants, about championing indigenous folks, about Black Lives Matter. I've always been. So for me, I think we're living in a world, and we're living in a time where if your heart is in those places and you really support and want to uplift the voices of marginalized people, you can't separate the two anymore. Because the same people who follow Guerrera on IG follow me. So I'm not about to make my, you know, profile private because I'm scared of what the backlash is going to be. I already lost a client. I've already been warned, you know, maybe you shouldn't, you know, be so vocal, because a lot of people in the music industry are pro-Israel, and a lot of people in the music industry are Jewish. And I was like, I have nothing against anybody who's Jewish. I have a problem with Zionists. So everything that I've been talking about is now so evident that if people don't see it, then you have to ask yourself why you don't want to see it. Like, why don't you want to see the truth that is being unfolded? Like, I'm not making stuff up when I'm saying three Palestinian kids got shot by a white supremacist in Burlington, Vermont 2 days ago. O sea, there it is. This is what we've been saying.
I really appreciate that, not seeing things that are right there in front of you. And I think something that we've talked about in past episodes with regards to Palestine and Latinos, and something that in asking around on the issue of like Christian Zionism, right? And you're touching upon Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine, who are social justice oriented. There may be a blind spot when it comes to Palestine and what's going on in the region. And I think we tend to identify that blind spot as being like there because so many of us are Catholic, so many of us are Christian, and there is like a reverence for Israel. And I know there's a lot of señoras who like will go basically on pilgrimages to Israel, you know, Voy a Israel. And it's like a big thing for a lot of Catholics. And I'm curious about your thoughts on the Christian Zionism, that Catholic Zionism with regards to Latinos.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to indoctrination. You know, this is indoctrination. I myself grew up Catholic, and being in Catholic school all through high school, I was indoctrinated, and it took years of me consciously just taking all of that out of my system, because it wasn't just cognitive. It was just in my body, like the physical reaction that I would have when I would have sex with someone that I wasn't in a relationship with, the guilt, you know. So it took years for me to deprogram myself. So I think that a lot of these people, you know, they don't know any better, and their ignorance is their beliefs in Catholicism or Christianity are conflated with the location of Israel, because Jerusalem is in Israel. So it's like, you know, they automatically associate Israel with being the Holy Land. But before Israel was established, so prior to 1947, what was it called? It was called Palestine, right? So it was the British Mandate of Palestine. It was Palestine. And it was supposed to always be a place where all the three major religions had a point of convergence, and that's Jerusalem. And so it's Jerusalem is holy for Christians, it's holy for Judaism, and it's holy for Muslims. So this is what they've been taught. This is what some, you know, Jewish kids have been taught their whole life about what Israel means to them and why having a state is so important because of persecution. And all of that has merit, and there's a lot of truth to that. At the same time, I think we have to start asking ourselves, if you are a Christian or a Catholic, you have to start asking yourself, What is the price to pay for your upholding those beliefs? Is it worth upholding this respect and love for the Holy Land when it's acting like a terrorist group?
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Baratapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you too, you know, a lot of our listeners are Latinas. They tend to be social justice oriented, community focused, all of that, right? But what would you say to people in the community, in our community, our listeners, right, that are just tapping into this movement for the first time?
I would say that we need your support. Like, we need you. If you are a social justice activist and you want to make changes, then you cannot just go for hard for one cause or your cause and that's it. It doesn't work that way. And even though the genocide is happening, you know, 5,000 miles away, we are living in the country that is making that possible. Israel is one of the richest countries in the world, one of the richest. So the $4 billion they get every year from the US, 90% of that goes into their military, which has the fourth largest army in the world. So we are paying for that with our tax dollars. That should infuriate you. It's time to stop being scared, because otherwise this is never going to change. And I know that it feels like we can't do anything, but yes, we are. The boycotting, it's really helping. The divestment, it's really helping. The protesting, it's putting international pressure. We have never, and my mom cries all the time. My mom's like, yo nunca he visto este tipo de apoyo de millones de personas all over the world. She said, I've never seen this before. I've never seen this type of solidarity. And you have to ask yourself, why are millions of people marching for Palestine and not for Israel?
It's a great question. I think the numbers and the show of support, like, speaks volumes. Here in LA, even this past weekend, there was another march in solidarity with the Palestinian people. On our Instagram, we posted like a big march that took place downtown. Also, they marched to Pershing Square a couple weeks ago now. And and I think that that says a lot about where, at least where LA seems to stand on the issue.
Yeah,
and look at the type of people that go to the pro-Israel marches and the Palestinian marches. Mm. The diversity in our marches, like, Latinos need to see themselves in that, because the people who are marching, like, people of color are not supporting Israel. They're supporting Palestine. They're supporting Palestinians. And most of us Latinos, even if we're white Latinos, we're still not fully white. We're still, you know, like, our lineages are mixed. We're mestizos. We're still not considered white people in this country. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I'm a white Latina and a white Middle Eastern woman, but I'm still not white in this country, right? So my point is that just look at the diversity. Look at how the indigenous communities, who they're supporting. Look who the Black community is supporting. You know, so that says a lot. That says a lot.
I think too, like in one of the examples of solidarity is like thinking from the local perspective is like Cudahy, they are the first like local city in LA to pass a resolution demanding a ceasefire, right? And like the city of LA hasn't done that, no surprise, right? But Cudahy, like a small city in one of the gateway communities, right? It asked for a ceasefire. So I agree, like it does make you question like, okay, wait, countries all over Latin America, countries all over the world, not just the people, but also the governments are in support of Palestine. So what does that tell you, right? I think it's a very introspective question of like it, like you said earlier, like it's right in front of you. Like if you're choosing to not see it, that's one thing, but it's the examples are there.
Yeah, it's if you look at the votes in the UN on who wants to call a ceasefire, there's only like 5-7 countries that don't. It's like the US, Canada, no surprise there, you know, France, UK. I mean, predominantly white countries led by white people, colonizing countries. So it's like no one can sit here and tell me, oh, because Russia and Iran and Hezbollah, they support, you know, Hamas, which is true. And it's just like, wait, hold up. There's a ton of countries in Europe that are also against Israel. Spain is leading the front on that one, which is beautiful to see. You know, because they got a lot of,
That was wild. I mean, that one surprised me. I mean, you're right. They have been super vocal in the human rights violations, right? But I was also very shocked. Clearly, obviously, the colonial legacy that Spain has. So it was shocking. But I agree. Like, yeah, they are in leading it.
Yeah, there's several countries, you know, in Europe that are championing Palestine. But, you know, at the end of the day, just it's without having the emotion, like take away the emotion from all of this, just looking at it from a factual point of view, it's like, you know, just do the numbers. Just look at the countries, the amount of countries that support a ceasefire, that support Palestinians, that feel like Palestinians have the right to self-determination, to live in sovereignty, to have their own state. Just look at the numbers versus not. And most of the and the 7 fucking countries that support Israel and fund it and are Israel's allies are all colonizing countries. So as Latinos, this should infuriate you because every country in Latin America was colonized. You know what I mean? And we're still living with the effects of that, with the repercussions of that. It is colonization is well alive today in the systems that govern our country. I was just reading right now how the AIPAC is trying to get candidates up against Rashida Tlaib for $20 million, is trying to pay them, you know, to run against her. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it should just be infuriating to everyone. And listen, I want to also acknowledge that the Palestinian genocide is not the only genocide that's happening right now. We're seeing this happen in Sudan. We're seeing this happen in the Congo. Yemen has undergone like a brutal civil war and Syria. So there are so many countries. We're not the only one. And it's comparable to the George Floyd situation. He wasn't the first, the last, and won't be the last, unfortunately. His death sparked an outrage. And so the Palestinian genocide has sparked an outrage, but it's the conduit. You know what I mean? It's the conduit for people to start opening their fucking eyes and be like, yo, the U.S. and Israel are terrorist states that have started all these wars and fund all these proxy wars in the name of wealth and greed, because Gaza is sitting under $5 billion of oil and natural gases. That's really what's going on. That is really the bottom line, right? So the U.S. backs Israel because it needed a geopolitical partner in that area to they needed an ally in the Middle East, and the geopolitical location of Israel is perfect. And the amount of wealth that's in the Levant region in terms of oil, they've already, like, as soon as the war started, like 2 weeks in, they were already licensing contracts to six major oil companies to start drilling. And they can't drill under Gaza. Why? Not to mention that Israel funded and propped up Hamas, but that's a different, that's another podcast.
Yes. Yes, 100%. I am wondering, Lauren, if we have listeners out there who want to know how they can show solidarity, how they can participate, how they can get involved beyond posting on Instagram. Right. What are your recommendations? What do you think is most helpful, especially for like a Latino community who does not want to fall into the Christian Zionism side of things, who wants to like show their support for the Palestinian people?
I think there are so many ways. You know, the obvious ones are obviously like going to a protest, talking to people, right? Listening to people who are Palestinian, who are on the ground. And following all of those accounts and just really informing yourself. I would suggest that if you want to inform yourself on the situation, do not follow any American media. They have been super biased and falsely reporting stuff from CNN to NBC to all of them, basically. I would say follow Al Jazeera, Reuters, Eye on the Middle East. There's several news outlets and Instagram accounts that you can follow. I think the other thing is boycotting. That really works. You know, boycotting Nestle, which has Nespresso. Unfortunately, I'm an espresso person, but I just, you know, I'm no more Nespresso for me. Disney and Starbucks, that's overpriced and gross anyways. You know, and I think we need to start, you know, like really decentralizing like our monies. Like I have investments and I have money in stocks and I called my financial advisor and I'm like, pull my money out of every company that I have any stocks in that may manufacture weapons, any of these companies that support Tesla or that support any of these other companies. I think shopping local, you know, like I'm a person who would never buy anything that the Kardashian makes. Like we need to stop making rich people richer and we need to start investing in like our own community. So now I'm like, you know, buying makeup from brands that are made by Latinos, Latinas, you know, Middle Eastern folks. So I feel like we need to fight money with money because this is all about money. This whole entire conflict is about money. That is the truth. Like aside from the genocide and aside from all the religious stuff and aside from the land, that is just the icing on the cake. The real reason is money. It always has been. It was that for Iraq. It was that for everything else. I think to finish answering your question, boycotting, divestments, if you have any money in stocks, like talk to whoever your financial advisor is, or if you don't have a financial advisor, then start investigating and boycotting. We give all these major corporations way too much money. And what are they doing with that money? A lot of these people are doing really evil shit with that money and supporting these wars and supporting these genocides. And it's just like, we have to be diligent about and hyper-vigilant about where we're spending our money. And I think that is the one. And obviously besides donating, you know, donating money to organizations who are on the ground in Gaza. But other than that, that's the only thing we can do. Like keep marching, keep signing petitions, calling your reps, like however, but we can't let up because for the next marginalized group that some shit happens to, we all have to have the same energy. At the end of the day, the US cannot survive without our tax money. They need us. Mm-hmm. The 2% is not going to put their own money to run this country. Mm-hmm. They need us. That's what people don't understand. So I feel powerless a lot of times personally, because obviously this is so much. But then I'm like, wait a second, you know, if millions of us have solidarity and we get on the same program, they're going to be fucked. And it's going to be really scary. Imagine if, like, you know, 200 million people decided they weren't fucking paying taxes no more.
Right.
You're going to put 200 million people in jail.
Yeah, and that is often the thing, jailing people and you know, taking jobs away from people. They do that to discourage others from joining in,
mm-hmm.
right? And the examples that you gave at the top of the episode of people who have spoken out and then lost jobs, it is scary, and it does scare people. And it's this cyclical thing. You know, the Red Scare was a big deal, and people lost their jobs and their livelihoods if they were even considered to be at all, like, you know, empathetic towards communism. And a lot of Black Lives Matter activists over the years have gone missing or turned up dead or in jail. And now folks that are expressing solidarity with Palestine are experiencing similar repercussions. And so it is very scary, you know, to be that person to step up. But you're right. When there is strength in numbers, when the masses come together, that's when the powers that be end up, they have to relent. There, a change has to happen. Something's got to give, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it with the civil rights movement, but I mean, they galvanized millions of people. And I feel like, you know, again, I don't think that anybody should be looking at this as, oh, this is just a Palestinian issue. This is a people of color issue. This is a marginalized community issue. You know, what's been really beautiful for me to see is that in all the protests, I try to go to a protest at least once a week. And so I see, you know, the LGBTQ community show up for us. I see, you know, the Indian community show up. I see a lot of Jewish folks show up. Those make me cry all the time. I see, obviously, Black folks show up. I mean, at Kehlani, I run into her literally at every protest. You know, shit, Kehlani for president, for real. And so, you know, it's really beautiful to see that. And all the other marches I've been to for Black Lives Matter and for, you know, when Trump got elected, it was just, I think that's the one thing that gives me hope. When I see, you know, all these people in protest, I think the only thing that's missing is that not enough people are posting because they're scared. And it's like, I get it. And I'm talking from a position of privilege because I own my own business. And if a couple clients fire me, it's not going to affect me. It's not, I'm going to be able to pay my bills just fine. So I understand that. I want to acknowledge that I also come from a place of privilege and that not everybody has the luxury to do that, because there's people who are, you know, relying on brand money for their podcast, or they're relying on brand money for their events. And a lot of these brands maybe may have ties to people who are, you know, pro Israel, who would silence them or they would lose the job. And so I understand. So if you're in that situation, I don't need you to risk your, you know, I don't need you to like end up in a bad financial situation. Because that's not gonna, we don't want that for you, right? But if that's not the case, then I feel like, okay, you know, show up for us. And we're gonna show up for you always. You know, because man, I'm telling you, if anybody knows war and genocide, oppression, being called terror, my mom was called a terrorist her whole fucking life living in Miami. Miami that it was always like predominantly white Cuban. As you know, a lot of Cubans vote for Trump, the majority. You know, Cubans are pro-Israel, the majority. And my mom, as a Palestinian woman living in Miami, was called una India, and in a derogatory way, right? Because white Latinos use that term in a derogatory way. It was called una terrorista, you know, was my mom was super vocal about being Palestinian and had a sticker in her car that said, yo amo Palestina. My mom has always been riding hard, and she is the quintessential Palestinian angry woman who's always like, you know, depicted as yelling, as angry. And I get her. And I get it now because she has faced so much backlash just for existing, just for being who she is. So if anybody else has gone through that, then this should really pull on your heartstrings, man. You know, this should really like hit you deep and say, fuck, you know what? I come from a community that we live that shit too. You know? So we gotta ride for each other. It's the only way. It's the only way. And it's not like, well, you know, I really love Starbucks. Man, fuck Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, think when you think about the next time you think about getting a fucking Starbucks, think about that kid that they found on, under the rubble. That could have been your daughter. That could have been your little brother. That could have been your niece, your nephew. Think about that shit. Starbucks is not that good.
This is true. Hard truths, hard truths. But I thank you so much for sharing your perspective and for giving our audience, you know, some ways, some action steps that they can take to actually express their solidarity and get involved.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lauren. We really appreciate you for giving us some of the personal and political examples. So, yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you, ladies, so much. And I appreciate it. And to everybody who's listening, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Locamores, for tuning in to another episode of Locatora Radio. We will catch you next time.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Munoz, and Diosa Femme.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our Locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
Network. What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.